I want to bring a message to you from Acts chapter 1. We're certainly celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of course, believers know that every Lord's Day is Resurrection Sunday, but we do celebrate the time of the attention the world may give to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in those days after the resurrection of Christ in the first century, are a reminder of how we could be encouraged no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our difficulties, no matter what our trials. And I'm reading to you from Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. I just want to give you several things that I think would encourage us for the battle at hand, for the building at hand, and just pray God would use us these days. Dr. Luke writes, verse 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had, through the Holy Spirit, given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The behavior of the disciples after the resurrection and after the infallible proofs which demonstrate that indeed Jesus of Nazareth has conquered death, hell, and the grave is a remarkable testimony to the power of the gospel and the power of the good news of Jesus' victory for us. I want you to see the things that comforted these disciples at a very difficult time. If you read ahead in the book of Acts, you'll see that persecution lies ahead. You'll see that deprivation lies ahead. You'll see that there are difficulties, political, economic, religious, internal, external. It is a battleground, the book of Acts, and yet the work of God prospers and advances. And I want you to see the things that really set the groundwork for the apostles and the early church reaching the world in which they were placed for Jesus Christ. Number one was the absolute reality of the resurrection. They could not have attempted what they attempted. They could not have pressed on. They could not have endured. But they were sure, and they had seen those infallible proofs Dr. Luke talks about. Jesus spent 40 days proving that he indeed was risen from the dead. Some of the believers may have had doubts or early on, but Jesus proves that he is the risen Christ. Faith in Jesus' resurrection is central to these early disciples, and it must be central to us as well. Whatever our discouragements, whatever our difficulties, whatever our distractions, we must have faith in the resurrected Christ. Number two, one of the things that is the pillar and ground of their confidence and their faith is the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of a spiritual kingdom, the rule of God in the heart, and it also speaks of a millennial kingdom that is yet to come. And sometimes those great truths have been a source of confusion to the natural mind. Even as Jesus is preparing to ascend into heaven, his disciples seem to have this want or this wish that somehow an earthly kingdom could now be established, and the throne of David would once again be set up, and the Romans would be expelled from the land of Israel, and a political kingdom would begin. We clearly know that that was not the agenda in Jesus' first coming. Jesus came the first time to seek and to save that which was lost, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross, to be buried, to rise again, and to establish a kingdom, yes, but a spiritual kingdom. Now, there is a kingdom to come. There is a future kingdom, and I'll speak about that in perhaps just a moment, but I do want you to understand that it was the rule of God in the heart. God as King, Jesus Christ as King, Lord over the lives of these disciples. If we're to face our battles, if we're to face our difficulties and press on through the opposition we may have, both economic and political and spiritual, we must be certain that we are part of the kingdom of God and that we are advancing the kingdom of God. And it is this kingdom work that the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are to be about. There is a kingdom. And when you're saved from your sins, you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Know that every believer has dual citizenship. Citizenship in a country here on earth, but more importantly, citizenship in a heavenly kingdom. And I believe that undergirded and strengthened these disciples as they pressed on in the work. The assurance that there is a kingdom of God even now among us. God is ruling and reigning in the hearts of men. The gospel of that kingdom is being preached. And we're telling men and women, boys and girls, they need to turn from their sins and trust Christ and Christ alone. And Christ comes into the heart to rule and reign there first. That's the spiritual kingdom. Number next in this passage, the encouragement and strength they had was the assurance of the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do what we do, but that the Holy Spirit is with us. Even in salvation, faith, the gift of God, comes to us by the hearing of the Word of God, which is inspired and God-breathed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we are quickened and made alive by the work of the Holy Spirit, even in our salvation. And then in our ministry, we cannot do what we ought to do and should do without the strength of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ assures his disciples that the Holy Spirit will immerse this first congregation there on the day of Pentecost and authenticate it as the temple of God, as the people of God, and that Holy Spirit would empower them. Power, the ability, the strength to do what we need to do. We don't have the strength in ourselves. We are weak. We are frail. But the Holy Spirit of God is the power of God, not only unto salvation, but also unto service. And we are witnesses. The Holy Spirit just requires that we give testimony. He'll empower it. He'll strengthen it. He'll bless it. He'll use it. The Holy Spirit does the heavy lifting of the gospel work, the kingdom work we're about. And then next, he wants us to be confident about the assurance of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Just as surely as Jesus came the first time, he is coming again. We look around us and we see wars and rumors of wars and plagues and earthquakes and tornadoes and tumult, and the whole earth groans and travails. Those are the precursors. Those are the harbingers. Those are the warning signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we're in the last days, as were these early disciples. You might want to say for sure we're later in that dispensation than they were. And chronologically, you'd be right. But we're in that age of grace. We're in that times of the Gentiles. And Jesus is coming very soon. That's not a point of fear. That's not a point of terror for us. That is a point of assurance. The Bible calls it our blessed hope. Jesus is coming again. Jesus will come. He will resurrect the bodies of those saints who have gone on before us. He will rapture those saints who are alive here on the earth and will be caught up to be with the Lord. Much will be done. Much will go on there in the blueprint that God has for the end of this age, the end of this world. But the great promise of Acts chapter 1 is Jesus is coming again. These two men in white apparel said the same Jesus in like manner. He'll come in the clouds. He'll come visibly, bodily, physically. He'll come and he will catch us away. Jesus is coming again. I pray that would be my hope. I pray that'll be your hope. Oh, we ask God to bless us with daily bread. We ask God to bless us with health. We ask God to bless us with liberty to preach the gospel and economic privilege and advantage to take care of our families and to advance the work of God. But all that we might be sure that Jesus is coming again. The watchword of the early disciples was, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And whatever difficulties we face and whatever trials we face, let's remember these undergirding, empowering truths of Acts chapter 1. The reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The assurance of a spiritual kingdom now in us and now being advanced. The power of the Holy Spirit. And the promise, the sure hope of Jesus' second coming. Comfort each other with these words. Press on. Continue your prayer ministry. Continue reaching out. For now, and I pray soon we are going to be able to assemble again safely and wisely. But for now, I just say we need to calm down. We need to stay in. We need to reach out. And we need to look up. May God comfort and help us as we do what we can for the work of Jesus Christ in these days. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day and for this privilege of opening the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who empowers the gospel, indwells every believer, strengthens every church, makes possible all the work of God in advancing His kingdom. Father, we thank you for the promise that Jesus is coming again and he'll set everything right. He'll wipe away every tear. He'll take away every sorrow and he will take us home to be with him. And we look for that day and pray for that day in his name. Amen.